Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please? For some of you, this is totally different, me being down on the main floor. It's because I can get closer to you. Because I believe God has got something that's going to connect us. Oh, I should actually, someone, which is the Spirit of God, that's going to connect us in a way we've never been connected before. And so we're going to start off reading today, and then I've got just kind of a little treatise to say to you and before we even start into the message. We're going to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, then we'll go into Acts chapter 1, and we'll have some verses to read there. And I hope that you're in a spirit of anticipation of what God would want to do in your life, in the lives of all of us, as we talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Here we start with verse 7 in chapter 6. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And, I lost my place. I'm a little slow getting there. And John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put on his own authority. Verse 8 together. But of me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and in the of the earth. Let's pray. Father, today something's going to happen or is happening. I don't want to make it an event, but there's an impartation that I believe that you want to put upon each one of us today. Not only just of the advent of the Holy Spirit, but of what you're doing today and what was pronounced years ago, that we will be recipients and we will participate in the things that you have done and already made available for us. And Lord, to some it'll be a strange experience, but for others it'll be a refreshing or a reigniting of a relationship that we've always, always wanted. Holy Spirit, be our director of everything that is said and done, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor and praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I have a rather long introduction, so I had to write it out, but I think it'll be helpful for you to understand, because there's some things I'll say here that are a statement of truth that what we should really actually know and believe. 1 week from today will mark the second most powerful day in the history of mankind. The birthday of the church through the advent of the promise of Jesus filling the hearts of all believers will be celebrated by the most powerful event known to mankind. The fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit is the expression of grace delivered to believers, empowering them to proclaim the good news of the gospel of salvation, deliverance, and healing for all mankind. Doubt, fear, and unbelief must take to the sidelines and watch in awe at the manifestation of the glory of God that was poured out upon the lives and into the hearts of those who chose to obey the commandment of Jesus to wait for the power that was coming from on high. There has not been and never will be any greater display of power and a promise that can change the lives of those who will receive the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of us, I see there's a whole spread of different evangelical persuasions. And I want to let you know, it's not like a factor where I feel like we finally win, the charismatics win. It's not about charismatics or Pentecostals or whatever. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is doing something in the earth today that is unparalleled to anything that's ever been transformed. In spite of all the things you don't like about the government, things are going on, they're closing down this, they're not doing this, they got trouble at the border. I want you to stop and focus on what God is doing. I'm not going to ask any questions today. I'm going to make some statements. And I hope you're ready for these statements. The first statement I'll make is, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a promise from Jesus. It's a promise. It's like, well, it's not an add-on. It's a promise. Ever had a promise not fulfilled? Raise your hand. Yeah. Well, this one is going to be fulfilled because it already has been. Because the Holy Spirit is here right now. But for some of us, we need to discover that. Second statement I'll make is, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a promise for every believer. Now, I know we got some Catholics in here, Presbyterians, Methodists, you know, holy rollers. Whatever. I don't care what they branded you. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need Him in your life, not it. And the one thing, if I can erase it from your way of thinking, is the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. He's a person that wants to take over your life. And the last thing is this. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a gift from God that will give believers access to all the gifts of the Spirit. Now, listen to what I said there. I didn't say that you will be able to manifesting all the gifts of the Spirit at one time. That's not true. But when the Holy Spirit has access, total access to you, you will find yourself knowing, believing, and doing things that is beyond your ability. What? You'll have faith to believe for people to be healed. And all of a sudden you say, well, I don't know where that came from, but I think we're supposed to pray for you right now. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit has ways of healing people that you don't think, I mean, you're not a healer. He is. I can honestly say I have laid hands on someone and seen a blind person see. It happened. I was ambushed by the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you real quickly how it happened. I was at this particular meeting, and they said, well, we're going to have we want all the people that are believers to pray. I'm like, oh, I'm a believer. I'll pray. And says, so, and whatever your need is, we don't have enough pastors here to pray for you. So whatever your need is, just raise your hand and have someone lay hands and pray it for you. So this lady standing next to me, this is 43 years ago. I know I've been here on the planet a long time. Okay. So this lady, I'm thinking, oh, praise God, this little lady here, she needs someone to pray for her. And I'm thinking, oh, praise God. And so, but without asking her what her need was, I go, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. And all of a sudden she screams, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what did I do? And she's screaming, she's jumping up and down, her friends as well. The woman had been blind. God healed her. She's running up on the stage, and I ran out the door. I'm serious. It scared me. Most of you say, oh, I heal the blind. No, I didn't. I was scared. I dare you to believe God. I dare you to allow God to take control over your life and to do the impossible. Come on, folks. We're about to jump into a new arena. So here we go. So being filled with the Spirit will soften your heart. I want to take you into some places that let's go to Acts 2, 4, and 5. I'm getting ahead of myself. Lord, have mercy. I'm just getting so fired up. Jesus, help me. Okay. I think, patience. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Some of you didn't know Ezekiel existed, but he's here. Then I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within them. And take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Remember, I've been talking about hard-heartedness the last few weeks? It all fits in together. Some of you didn't realize hard-heartedness is an issue, but it's not an insoluble issue. It's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of us today. Now, interestingly enough, this prophecy was made several thousand years before the advent of, or the showing up of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's been things that you've been, you folks over here have been waiting on for a long time. I want to tell you something. It's going to happen today. What? What'd you say? Today. Would you like that today? Oh, absolutely. Because the day that we yield to the fact that that God can soften our heart to believe that he can do the things that we've been waiting for a long, long time. Well, here it goes. The prophets of the Old Testament prophesied of things that would be coming in the years ahead. They spoke of unity of the heart and mind. They wrote about a new spirit in the heart of man. And they spoke of a heart of flesh that was open to the plan of for God's people. If we can leave hardness behind and receive today a heart of flesh, or a heart that's able to reach people and wants to reach people, something wonderful is going to happen. Well, the Lord longed to give his people a new heart, birth by the Spirit. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27. A little bit more Ezekiel's got to say to us. Here we go. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Okay, let me stop right there. Just leave that up there. Everybody close your eyes. Close them. Because I don't want you to know. But how many of you with eyes closed could say, you know what? I need my heart transformed from hard-heartedness to a heart of flesh. Lift your hand and say, that needs to happen today. Lift it up high. You're not going to be embarrassed because I'm the only one looking. All right, put your hands down. That's good. All right, you open your eyes again. We'll move on a little bit further. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Anybody have a tough time keeping the judgments of God? I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I was doing so well until you cut me off in traffic. I was walking in this, I was driving in the spirit. But I'll tell you what, something got to hold to me. But that new spirit he puts within you, all of a sudden he said, you know what? Whatever. Jesus wants to do something new. Well, the new spirit the Lord will give his people will transform them from the inside out. The heart of man will be transformed to feel and to know the plan and the will of God. But look at this one. The new spirit will cause believers to walk in the ways of Jesus and enable them to live according to the word of God. You can try on your best day. And tell you, I'm not going to do that today. Mm-mm, not me. No. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. But the Holy Spirit. And I like the word that was used a long time ago. It's called umpire. You know what an umpire does? He calls balls and strikes. He says, oh, that looked really good. Strike. Oh, that was it. Strike two. We don't have the discernment to know what's good. The things that you call good, the Holy Spirit says, not even close. But when the umpire of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you in a way, you're going to hear some things from the Word of God that will really be very important to you. Back to Ezekiel, to one more place. It says, the Holy Spirit brings new life. 37:14, Ezekiel 37. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that the Lord have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him this. I'm in transition. In other words, God is about to take me to a new place. The place that you're in right now is not big enough. It's not good enough. It's not strong enough. God's got something better for you. It's time for you to move on. Some of you have been stuck in the same place ever since you got saved. You might as well say amen or say oh me. Doesn't matter. But it's time for us to move on. If you have not benefited from the power of the Holy Spirit being in your life and you're still the same person and you're still doing the ABCs of the gospel, he says it's going to take you from glory to glory. It's time to move on. So what does this mean? Well, there's several things I think that we could deduce from this. It will cause dry bones to live again. I want to encourage you, if you have time to read the story of the Valley of the dry bones. But here's the thing. The Lord took the prophet Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones. Obviously, there had been a war there. There's bones everywhere. And he asked one question. And I want to ask you the very same question. Can the dry bones of your experience live again? I'm asking you. I say, well, I feel dry, disconnected, without direction, without purpose. I only have one question for you to answer. Can these bones live again? Let me add something to it. Will you allow these bones to live again? Not can they, but you can hinder the Spirit of God from doing things in your life by your resistance toward what God's wanting to do. Now, let me just help you with this. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You say, quench not the Spirit? Is that a refreshing drink of some sort? Really? We got work to do on you. Quench means to hinder, prevent, stifle, not allow. But God is going to do something. He says, it will cause dry bones. A prophetic voice of the Spirit will cause a once dry life's body to live with power and purpose. What about this? We will be able to walk and speak in the power from on high. You know, they had this, you know, ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone. You know the story. If you didn't hear the song, Google it. But the tagline was, hear the word of the Lord. The only way you'll get connected like you should be connected is hear the word of the Lord. Not only hear it, hearing and not doing is not hearing. You know what I call it? Sampling. Some of you come every week and say, well, let's take a sample, see what pastor has today. We'll take a little sample, take a little nibble. Sip. See if it's going to affect me. Ooh, that's too strong, dear Jesus. Selective hearing. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Okay. Well, Jesus made it clear what the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to be. Let's go to John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. I'm going to review that a little bit. This is what he said. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You know what I found out? God does not need you to convict people of sin. Oh, I can't believe you're doing that. I can't believe you, you godless generation. You know, the Holy Spirit can do a much better job than you. Because, honey, look in the mirror. Hello? But you know how the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin? By you walking in right relationship with God. And you not flying off the handle and you not doing all this crazy stuff. And you can claim no fame to say, well, why aren't you like this? Why aren't you upset because the boss made us do such and such? I said, you know what? I've got a power that's greater than me than he that's in the world. He lives within me. He abides within me. And I live from strength to strength. That's what the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is, baptism is. I'm just giving kind of a little precursor to what that's going to be about. But here's another little piece of this action here. He says about the idea. He says, Jesus was clear with his instructions, you know, regarding the Holy Spirit and what he wanted us to do. And the powerful thing about it was, you know, the Holy Spirit was the one divine mission to come to you directly. And the Holy Spirit will be a divine helper and reveal things hidden by the enemy. Now, verse 13 says, 16:13 says, the Holy Spirit will bring us the truth through the person of Jesus. 16:13 says this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into, read that person, he will guide you into what? How many of you love liars? I just love hearing lies, lies. Oh, they just make me feel so good. Just get right into my spirit. I tell you, if you want to get upset, let somebody lie to you and know they did it intentionally, and there's going to be a problem. But what about the opposite spectrum? He'll give you all truth. The Bible says this, you shall know the truth and the truth shall. If you're living in bondage today, I will guarantee you it's because there is a lie that you have chosen to believe rather than accepting the truth. And one of the lies that we'll accept is that I don't need the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh, I said it. Oh, dear. I don't need him. I'm fine. I accepted Jesus, you know, in youth camp, 1957, along with all of my friends. And I'm good. I'm good to go. Got my ticket to heaven. On my way. Really? Well, I'm not going to argue with you. We're just going to continue with our teaching and we'll see what happens. Okay. The Holy Spirit has one divine mission: to come to you directly. Personalization of the power of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will be a divine helper and reveal things hidden by the enemy. This will be an aha moment for several people here today. Some of the things I'm going to say about the Holy Spirit, saying, I always wondered about that. It's going to be revealed to you in just a moment. But here's the deal. And it says, the Spirit will bring us the truth through the person of Jesus. 16:13 again. There you go. He says, oh yeah. And however, when he, the Holy Spirit, his truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is not the psychic hotline. It's not Mama Lulu that you call, and she has a word from you. I know, it's, what is it, by the minute you pay so much a minute. Some of y'all know that because you didn't call her. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm trying to be helpful, okay? Well, okay, here we go. Here's one that I think that is inescapable as far as what the Holy Spirit is designed to do. The Holy Spirit is an essential piece of the armor for all believers. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now, you like the first part. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. But what about this one? Here we go. 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful in this end, in with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Leave that up there for a moment. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And you know something? We have skipped over that I don't know how many times. In the Spirit. Oh, you know what we interpret in the Spirit to be? Oh, I just feel like praying. Oh, I'm just in the Spirit to pray. 5 minutes from now, oh, I'm not in the Spirit to pray anymore. It is not subject to your emotions. Praying in the Spirit will override your emotions and say, when your feelings say, this is impossible, the Holy Spirit says, hang on. Dig in. Go deeper. You may have tears running down your face, but something tells you don't let go until the Holy Spirit blesses your soul. It may seem like everything, that's right, go ahead, because something inside, I don't know how this is going, so-and-so's dying. Hey, dry those tears and believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. It's in the Spirit. It overrides your feelings, your emotions, the things that you can't figure out. It says, keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Ever allow someone to talk you into quitting and wish you hadn't? Say yes. You gave up too soon. The Holy Spirit will allow you to persevere when you feel like you don't have the strength to hang on. It was interesting just a little while ago, even preparing to come downstairs, the Holy Spirit, you know, as if he was a stranger, entered into my office and intercession. What intercession means is the power of the Holy Spirit caused me to start interceding for people by name and calling out their names and believing God was going to do various things in their life. And it really blessed me this morning. Many of you know my sister. She visits here various times. She goes to another church. But I called my sister's name out this morning. Didn't know she was going to be here this morning, but God gave me a specific thing to pray for her and for every one of her family members and all of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I called them all by name. That's what I'm talking about, interceding in the Spirit. All of a sudden, he'll cause you to remember everybody's name. My memory ain't that good, but all of a sudden, he just lines them up. Praying in the Spirit. And you know what I found out? When you're praying in the Spirit, an hour ain't nothing. You're like, oh, it's been that long? When you're praying out of the Spirit, it's only been 5 minutes? Lord Jesus. Well, I'm just talking truth, that's all. Our prayers will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The unction of the Spirit will wage warfare against the powers of darkness. Now watch this. The power of the Spirit can detect the real issues at hand and expose them and bring them under subjection to the will of God. Ever find something you didn't know until you started praying and all of a sudden God says, oh my goodness, and he starts telling you stuff. And they say, how did you know that? And then you're talking to someone later on in the day says, you know, I was praying for you today. How did you know that? I was going through this tough situation. How did you know to pray for me? The Holy Spirit knows more than you do. Well, Jesus was clear in his instructions to his disciples to wait for the promise to come. And I need to just kind of season this because I'm going to continue this Saturday night from 6 until 8, and we'll have a time of prayer as far as it's concerned. And I would encourage you to come, but also on next Sunday morning. But consider this. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Now watch this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. How many of you know the difference between a commandment and a suggestion? Oh, only three of you. Well, let me help you. A commandment is that you better get this done. Suggestion, if you have time, it's really no big deal. Just use your own discretion as far as it's concerned. Every person that will receive a commandment will get the blessing thereof. But our problem is we want to have a guarantee that things are going to turn out the way we want them to, otherwise we will not participate. Oh, my goodness. Does this come with a warranty? How long does it last? I'm talking about an eternal warranty. Unquestionably. Because from the day in the Advent, which we'll celebrate next Sunday, which we're going to talk about this week, is there's never been a day in history other than the resurrection of Jesus that superseded the power of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, for those of you who are hung up with the word Pentecost, you know what Pentecost means? 50. What? I thought it meant rolling on the floor and being whatever. Or being, you know, discovered as being someone out of control. Pentecostalism is often has been an expression of people who have allowed their emotions, and believe me, I'm not anti-Pentecostal because I grew up in one of them churches. Yes, we did. It was us four no more, Acts 2:4. You can participate. You had to, you know. You couldn't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. That's because you was holy. You know what I found out? That was a prescription for separation. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, not only is he a gentleman, but once he gains access to your heart, he'll make you the sweetest, humble, most forgiving, loving person on this planet. Because you become just like Jesus. Well, here we go. So, that being the case, he tells him, he says, don't leave there. He says, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Which means Jesus was very specific to the place for them to go. Now, here's an issue. Is you don't get to select the things. If God says, go to Jerusalem, you know, I don't really like Jerusalem. I'd rather go to Seaside. Back in the days, you know, I don't know whether Seaside was there or not. But Jerusalem, it just kind of grates my nerve. You don't get to pick. Okay. But he's very specific to the place where to go. And he says, and here's the part that there's two things he said. Go. You know what the second one was? Anybody have a clue? Wait. I know you stumble over that one because you don't like to say that word. Wait. Because wait means it's going to happen, but you don't get to know when. Well, I know every one of you have had this experience where you've waited for something or waited for someone and it didn't happen. Say yes. I feel your pain. But here's the deal. So he says, go and wait. And he says, we must be willing to wait on the timing of the Lord. I need to go a couple more spaces before I make some comments. So Jesus promised a believer's power after their encounter with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, he says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I want to tell you the irrefutable proof of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Oh, so he's, I know where he's going to go. He's going to say speaking in tongues. You are absolutely wrong. What? I'll get to the tongues thing in a minute. But I want to tell you what Jesus said. Let me read what your Bible says. And you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit and as he's come upon, and you shall be the very first thing he has on there is witnesses. Some of you want to join the witness protection program. We don't have one. You want a witness protection program? I don't want anybody to talk about me. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. We don't have that program. They're going to think you're the village idiot. They're going to think you're stupid. They're going to think you're emotional. They're going to think you're all kind of different things. And if you're that fragile that you're going to listen to them, the Holy Spirit cannot really reside in you because they will talk you out of what the experience that Jesus wants you to have. Ooh, this is going to get rough in here now. Fasten your seatbelts. If you leave now, I know why. Because I found out one of the hardest things, let me start with me, is at times when I know I'm supposed to witness and I'm intimidated by people around me not to do it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a show of hands? Thank you very much. Oh, I knew you folks were saved. But the Holy Spirit says, you shall be my witnesses. He says, I will give you the power to not be afraid or intimidated by people who will shut you down. And I'll tell you the people who shut you down the easiest or the fastest are people that you revere as a friend and you don't want to lose their friendship. Ooh, Jesus. They're one of my best customers. If I tell them about Jesus, they'll probably never speak to me again. But what if, because you told them about Jesus, they accept Jesus and have eternal life? Which is more important? I want you to tear up your application for the Witness Protection Program and join reality. Oh, there's more. Come on. Okay. He says, the power of the Holy Spirit will enable us to go to places and speak without fear. Because the last little part, he says, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and in the end, to the end of the earth. Now, let me make this very reasonable in a lot of situations. Some of you will never get beyond the scope of Portland, or maybe the Pacific Northwest, or maybe the United States. But go wherever Jesus sends you. However, in this room right now, there are people that have missionary potential, and God will send you to the uttermost parts of the world. And it won't be upon your intellect. It won't be upon your resources. It'll be because God sent you there. Amen. You know, I never dreamed I would go to some of the places I've gone, and the next place I take off to is Africa, and you're going to send me there. What? Yes, you are. Because you got money in your pocket, it needs to be in mine. Hey! Listen up here. This isn't a commercial. This is a reality. I came back from up in Walla Walla. I was meeting with the people that I work with Connection International. I want to tell you just real quickly, and this is not a, well, yes, this is a commercial. It's a commercial. Two people older than I am, 10 years ago, went to Tanzania, Africa at 65 years old, had some land given to them. But in order for them to take the land to build a school for these people, they had to go back to school and get their master's degrees. They went back, got their master's degrees. And here's the facts. I'm just going to cut to the chase. They built a school in the middle of the desert. Other pictures aren't really that important. And within 8 years, the school that they built, the grade point average of the kids in their school is 93.2. They are number school in the nation. No, I don't want you to applaud that. I want you to applaud their obedience. Because see, somebody said, oh, I'm too old for that. Lord, I got to get my PERS. I got to get my retirement. I'm going to get all of it, get my Social Security and all those type of things. And I'm going to Arizona, I'm going to be a snowbird. You folks have lost your mind. And literally, hundreds of people have come to the Lord. In the last 8 years, they have planted over 120 churches. No, I don't want you to applaud this. I want you to applaud Jesus for what he did. Now you can applaud him. All that God wants you to do is become obedient to what he's telling you to do. And you know who tells us to do it? The Holy Spirit. Because you can't dream deep enough. Shallow hell, that's who you are. Okay, I'm almost there. So Jesus is the one who baptized the Holy Spirit, and let me get to it real quickly. Jesus went to great lengths to explain to the disciples the importance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the term baptized, it's an interesting word. It's a definite step different from water baptism. Water baptism. Okay. The fire portion that's mentioned is baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. But here's an interesting thing that you need to know. Let's see, did I get Mark 3:11 up there? Yeah, okay. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he's coming after me who's worthy, who's mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you know? Baptism in the Holy Spirit is in all four Gospels. What? Okay, here we go. Mark 1:8, put that one up there. Mark 1:8. Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Next scripture, Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all, indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandals strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. One more scripture, it's all in the Gospels, and John 1:33. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Convinced now? Well, a couple more things and we're done. The Word of God is very clear and points to the fact this is a grace beyond salvation available to all believers. But also, verses 4 and 5, when the Lord is talking about this, he heard from me, he says, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's back in Acts 1, 4, and 5. Now, here's the last little piece, and I can shore this up in the last few minutes. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. Now remember that this is going to be a portion of Scripture. This is in the Old Testament, but it's going to be New Testament for many of you. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Next few verses. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and smoke and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And therefore the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Joel had this prophecy, but you know the ironic thing about this is this exact same scripture was quoted on the day of Pentecost. We'll read it next week. So why is he going back into Joel? Because the Holy Spirit is a fulfillment of the promise. In the next few moments, as I close, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak some things directly into people's hearts. And I don't get to decide what that's going to be, but I will tell you this much. The promise of the Lord was the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on all flesh. I am not a racist or a person who really spends a lot of stuff on racism. But I can be honest with you that I have experienced it in my life. It's hurtful. But it did not define me as a person. It didn't define me as a person. And I tell you, one of the most racist things I ever heard was in the church. Oh, yes, it was. For some of you, a little history. Let me take you through a little history. We started over in a little church, you know, over on 82nd, then we moved over into the ghetto. What you doing over there in the ghetto? Over there on 7th and Mason with all the Bloods and the Crips and everybody. Then the Lord moved us over to Lloyd Center on the Max Line. Anybody remember the Pink Palace? Oh, yeah, the Pink Palace days. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, see, we were right there riding high. But I remember going to a pastor's conference and I heard the most racist comment I've ever heard. Oh! So you have a church over. Oh, well, how many white people are in your church? What? Do you know back in those days, and Kim will tell you this is the truth, 92% of our church was white, 8% were black. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what. We got 92% white people, but we have affirmative action going. Can you help us? Do we get more blacks? That man's face turned beet red. And he looked at me, oh, I didn't mean it that way. Which way did you mean it? See, people get crazy. Jesus doesn't save souls, skins, he saves souls. Come on. And I found out, just because you go to New Song doesn't mean you can't not be a victim of racism. Oh, Lord Jesus, let him speak on something else. It's time for you to get over it, baby. I'm getting close to the end. Praise God. But what the prophet Joel says, there's no gender exclusion. Male or female. There's no age discrimination. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Ha. Thank you. Older I get, oh, bless his name. You know. I move from seeing visions to dreaming dreams. But I'm still in the race. Young men shall see vision, old men dream. Hey, I have a wonderful, you know, glory to God. The supernatural realm will be opened and interpreted by those who are sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. But the promise of the Holy Spirit will be satisfied. This is the part you've got to rest upon. How many of you are thirsty? Praise the Lord. You should taste this. Refreshing. Well, you can't experience this? What the Lord says? Taste and see for yourself. I can tell you what it's all about, but until you've tasted for yourself, you won't be able to see and experience what I see and what I experience. Delicious. Yes, Lord. John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, we're just about done. On the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, I want you to be careful before you answer this question. Because if you're not, you're not. But how many of you would say, "You know what? I'm thirsty for more of Jesus." If that's you, I want you to lift your hand. Don't look for your neighbor. Lift yours. Put your hand down. This is not a trick question. This is not to trick you into responding to an altar call. It's just the fact that if you're thirsty, here's the hand over that. "If anyone thirsts in me, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What did the scripture say? What does the scripture say to you today? That Jesus wants to fill you with the fullness of Jesus. I'm going to stop right here. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everybody. Pastor Chuck, bring your little anointing oil with you when you come. Wow. Jesus desires all who are thirsty to come to him. When we choose to participate or partake of the life flow of Jesus, we can be assured to be satisfied. And the overflow out from the innermost being of a believer is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit giving glory to Jesus. I know the worship team, just make your way up here quietly. And this is the only thing that we're going to do. Pastor Chuck and I will be available to do this. We're not going to pray over you. We're just going to anoint you. He's got a little bit of anointing oil, and they're going to sing a song. We'll come to the altar. And this Saturday night from 6 until 8, those of you who want to have more, not only information, a greater opportunity to learn more about the Holy Spirit. And then on next Sunday morning, I want you to bring people that are hungry for Jesus. I'm not talking about saved folks. They can be saved, but I'm talking about people that you're going to encounter, the Holy Spirit says, invite them. Bring them with you. Let the Holy Spirit become who he is. I want everybody to stand to your feet at this time. We're getting ready to, and I'm going to pray over you, and this is going to be just very, 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 very simple. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, is directing me, and Pastor Jack, I think, is in agreement with me, that all we're going to do is just anoint you. Some of you may just be anointed and just walk on, and that's perfectly fine. But others of you will find yourself kneeling at one of these benches here or down front, And you are welcome to stay here as long as you need to. But I want to tell you, something powerful or someone powerful you're going to encounter today like you never have before. Some of you will come today and you're going to leave behind a mountain of guilt. You're going to leave behind a heap of regret. You're going to leave behind a whole lot of condemnation. Others of you will pass by and just receive an impartation of saying, you know, I'm preparing my heart to do what God wants me to do. And there's some things that God wants me to take care of, and I'm going to do it. Before you come forward, I want everybody to lift their hands, and I'm going to pray. And then as you feel led to come, well, I think the ushers will probably help you do it more orderly. I don't know how we'll do this, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to begin to cry out to Jesus right now. We are thirsty for more of you. We didn't realize how thirsty we were until the demonstration of someone drinking before us. All of a sudden, it just caused us to salivate in a level that we're saying, you know, the refreshing of just a cool expression of who you are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I set people free from doubt, from guilt, from regret of things they've said, they've done. I even set people free from the very idea of saying, you know, I didn't think I could ever be able to walk with Jesus. But when I walked down this aisle today, when I received just a little tap on the head with some anointing oil, something wonderful is going to happen to me. And I'll be able to go out and tell others that they're going to come back and we're going to experience all that Jesus is. Holy Spirit, make this a time of anointing, impartation. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just leave them up there just for another moment and just begin to pray in the Spirit. If you already have the Holy Spirit, just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. If you allow that expression. If not, just begin to thank Him for all the great things He's done in your life. If you can just stand at each aisle and just usher people out if they want to come, that's perfectly fine. So ushers are going to release you at this point. If you want to come, just come on. We'll pray for you. Go ahead, choir.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.